Reread that verse for us as you're going through these verses.
Okay. John 10, verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. The Lord was sanctified by the truth so we could be sanctified with the truth. The Lord conquered death and gave us his Holy Spirit to guide and comfort us. He made a way unto the Father that we might have life. So that's why he's a good shepherd, giving his life for his sheep. John 10, 13 to 14. Let me just read that. I didn't write that down. That says, the hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. And then, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. So are you led by a hireling who isn't the good shepherd? Or are you led by Jesus, the truth, the shepherd of the sheep that hear his voice? The Lord's sheep know him. They know the truth. They know his word, which is why they flee from deceptive and fleshly men.
Amen. Amen. Hey, can I go back to what you were talking about? So, and Brother Zealous, feel free to comment as we go through these. I think a big issue too is when you talked about he's the gate and other men come, the robbers. I think a big problem, it's because how churchianity abrogates God's word and doesn't teach it rightly. Everybody thinks that truth is like a one-time act. Everybody thinks truth is like a one-time thing. Coming through Christ, through the gate, and through the truth is not a one-time act. It's actually a process, is it not?
Yeah, I was just going to say that the process is the gospel by which we come, because he's the gate, he's the door, and no man can come to the Father but by him. We understand that without the shed blood of Christ, we have nothing. So the first step then is faith in what he did, and then it leads you through the rest of the gospel. And if you don't come that way, you're a thief and a robber. And that explains all the false converts we see.
Yeah, yeah, and it's like, yeah, they've truncated the gospel so much. Again, I always go back to marriage. It's like these people that go and get married on Saturday 10 years ago. I got married. I'm married too, you know. I believe in marriage. And you go, yeah, where's your wife? Well, I see her once a week for an hour. And are you keeping the marriage bond? Not really. I'm unfaithful to her. They think marriage is they think faith is a one-time act. And to make it show how foolish that is, compare it to marriage. Compare it to your job. Compare it to being a parent. Anything else you do is this one-time act. Yep, I'm one of those. Are you really striving in that? No. So that's a big point. Big point. Okay, go ahead, Brother Cool.
Yeah, those are good points. John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. The Lord's sheep follow the truth and walk after it. John 10, verse 30, I and my Father are one. And his saints, being conformed to the Son's image, are one with the Father if they're in the light. Let's see. And then I just wrote down John 11, verse 5 and 11:35, where the Lord wept. And it also says the Lord loved Lazarus. So the verse that came to mind for me was, precious in the sight of the Lord are the death of his saints.
Yeah, why do you think, why is that precious to the Lord?
Because they're one of his sheep, I suppose. Like, he knows them, they know him. And yeah, Death is one of those things that wasn't in the original plan, I guess.
Yeah, I would think there's a bunch of answers that could be applied. Yeah, God loves his sheep. I think of like Stephen, who was stoned, and the Bible tells us that it pleases the Father when his children obey. So when someone is obedient like unto death, and that they are a living sacrifice, and then ultimately they sacrifice their life for the truth of God, that has to be very pleasing to the Father when he sees someone, because Jesus said, no greater love than a man give up his life for someone. So that has to be like the ultimate, right? I mean, we're all ready. We're all living for the Lord. We're all following him. Everybody here listening, brothers and sisters.
Yeah.
We're all living and following for the Lord, but we have not attained. We are not done. We have not finished our sacrifice. One day when someone goes to kill us and we live faithfully unto Christ, or when we die of a natural cause, whatever happens, and we've lived out that complete sacrifice, that's a precious thing to the Lord, because that's what he's called us to do, to believe by the gospel, to follow and endure. That is being a living sacrifice. We're not done yet, and we got to keep going. And then once we're done, then that offering is complete. Just like where it says Christ sat down at the right hand of the Father, one time sacrifice, his work was done. Our work ain't done yet. Not working for salvation, but we're working for the Lord. And when our work is done and it's over and we've been faithful, that has to be pleasing to the Father, don't you think?
Yeah. It's like in Revelation when we read about the prayers of the saints being like incense that was well pleasing unto God. Well, we understand that prayer and worship isn't just going to a building and raising your hands. It's your everyday life. And if our lives are a living sacrifice, when we finish our sacrifice and it's finished and complete and then we made it, I mean, that would be really, really precious. We know how rare it is for somebody to even come. How much rarer is it for somebody to come and finish?
Right, exactly. Yep, start the race. A lot of people start the race. Well, I won't say a lot. A few start the race. More start than finish. Some get along in their race, but yeah, a puny few per Matthew 7 are going to finish their race and find their way along the narrow path. Yeah, amen. What's next, Brother Cool? Our Brother Cool.
John 11:43. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." So my sheep hear my voice. He is the resurrection and the life. Jesus loved Lazarus and called him from death to life. He comes out initially bound with grave clothes, but is loosed and let go. And it brought to mind the loosing of bands of death and sin to walk free in the light. And John 12:24, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." So the verses came to mind. "He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. My kingdom is not of this world, and my sheep hear my voice."
Can I stop you right there? James 4:4 comes to mind when talking about loving the world being not the cosmos that God created. That's a good thing. The world being Satan's system, anything, lust of the eyes, pride of life, the systems around us, sports, politics, entertainment, churchianity, everything that Satan uses to dabble, pick away at your flesh. And I think of James 4:4. We talked about that before, I think, and I was street preaching recently. James 4:4, "A friend of the world is an enemy of God." That word friend means fond of. No, you're fond of. "Hey, I really like watching movies. I really like the NFL. I really like politics. I'm involved. It makes me feel like I'm somebody special." You get involved and fond of the things of the world, and his sheep are not of the world. It's such a hard concept for people that aren't born of God, that are raised in churchianity or go to churchianity, to see they're living double lives, and Christ calls us to himself alone. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. And like when you preach, like when I'm street preaching, I love going there. Did you know a friend of the world? And then it also goes to John. I forget chapter and verse, but love not the world or the things of the world. If any man love the world, in him is not the love of the Father. I mean, you cannot say you love the Father and you are of the Father if you love and hold on to the things of the world. I mean, it's like you can't serve two masters.
Yeah, it divides you. And then, yeah, how can you, I always remind people this, how can we love and adore and live for what Christ is coming to destroy? And I ask people that. They're like, "Well, what's wrong with football? I like watching football." Explain to them why it's not of God, and then say, "You know, Christ is coming to destroy all that." And they just look at you. they don't have any answer for that. Well, you think he's taking the NFL to heaven? To the new heaven and earth, the new Jerusalem? You can't be serious. He's coming to destroy all that. You need to flee it now if you're of him. Makes them think. It's a good way to make people think where their affections laying, right?
Amen.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
Yeah, he's coming to destroy it all. And I use that on the denominations, too. Hey, why do you want to be Church of Christ? Why do you want to be Pentecostal? Why do you want to be Baptist, Roman Catholic? Christ is coming to destroy all that. If he didn't create it, he's destroying it. I just read it to a man I was Bible studying with last night on the phone. Revelation 11:15. Brother's reading verses. Let me read a verse. Revelation 11:15. Let me get there. It says, and the seventh angel sounded, because we're working through Revelation, verse by verse, slowly. There were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And of course, 2 Thess tells us he's coming back in flaming fire to destroy those that don't obey God, don't obey the gospel. We know what destruction's coming. So it's a good tool. It's a good tool to use on people to remind them they're on the wrong side of this war. They're going to lose lest they repent.
Yeah. Another way to ask him that is like, I asked somebody yesterday. He was a Mennonite. Well, they're semi-Mennonite. They're a non-denomination that come from a Mennonite background, but they're basically Mennonite, so go figure that out. And when I was preaching about coming out of the world, he says, well, he likes sports. He plays beach volleyball and watches it. And I'm like, that's biblical nakedness. And I just looked at him and said, do you think it's the Holy Spirit of God working within you, pushing you on in the kingdom of God and holiness that's pushing you, that would lead you to play beach volleyball? And he just looked at me and I said, you don't even have to answer that. Just think about it.
Yeah, that's craziness. Yeah. That question is just, it's one of those questions that's so obtuse, there isn't even an answer needed. It's like 1 + 1 = 3. Yeah, right. He doesn't even need it. Hey, well, what's wrong? You know, not wrong. I know what's wrong with it. Why not? You got all the non-denominational evangelicals. Oh, no, we're a non-denomination. They do everything that all the denominations do. They just don't have a name. Why not a non-denominational Mennonite? We just don't have the name, but we still do everything else the same way, right?
Yeah.
All right, Brother Kuo, you're up.
Okay, John 14:13, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. So we have confidence toward God, being conformed to the image of his Son, that whatsoever we ask shall be given, since we do those things that are pleasing in his sight.
Yeah, amen. According to his will, right? We don't ask for things that are outside the will of God.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. John 14:17. The world cannot see, I'll just read it really quick. I didn't read it down. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. So the world cannot see truth, nor does it know the truth. The world is built on lies, and the Spirit of truth keeps us in the truth, which is Christ, the ark, unto eternal life. John 14:21.
Wait, hold on, brother. Hold on. That ark comment is a good one. I like to use that. I always tell people that I use Noah, because almost everybody knows about Noah. Noah was a faithful, righteous man, believed God, but he also obeyed God and acted. He did works. He built an ark, and then when God said it was time, got in the ark. He stayed in the ark, and God floated him above the wrath of God. That's exactly what Jesus does for us. He tells us, build our life in him, be in him, abide, remain in him, John 15. And then when the time comes, he floats us above the wrath of God. We can jump out, cut out, we can do anything at any time. But he saves us and spares us from the wrath of God only his perfect work can do it, but our works are the evidence that we're in him, obeying him, and striving. I think that ark comment is a great, great example to use to people because it puts like a physical representation to something spiritual that you have to do.
Amen.
Yeah. I've never had one Calvinist type person yet explain to me. I ask one question. When people, grace alone, faith alone, eternal salvation, what if Noah didn't obey God and build the ark? What if he didn't have the works God asked him to do? What would have happened to him? Most people go, he'd have drowned in the flood. I thought he was a great man of faith. And they just don't have an answer for it. Other times they just look at you and they have no answer. Then they try to fly off to another rabbit trail. But without Noah working because he had faith in God, he would have been lost. So that's a good point that you brought up the ark.
Yeah. John 14:21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. If you love Christ, the truth, you will love the word of God and do what it says. When you love God, he will manifest himself to you through his word, which is Christ, which is the truth. Draw close to God, and he will make his abode with you. And the Father loves us because we're being conformed to the image of his Son.
Amen. I have a note on that. If you love the truth, don't you also hate false ways?
Yep.
Can you even love the truth if you don't?
Nope.
No, you can't. Yeah, you can't. That word manifest, I think that's worthy to talk about real quick. So a lot of these false groups that are spreading like wildfire, the Pentecostals, the New Apostolic Reformation, the signs and wonder people, they love to say, well, Jesus said he'll manifest himself to you. And they pull it off with he's appearing to them. He shows up with them. He eats breakfast with them. He's like their buddy. They sit on his lap, all this kind of stuff. If you go look up the context and look up what manifest means, yeah, it can mean to appear, but it more so in the context means to exhibit, declare, to come to view, to indicate, to disclose, to make known. The Holy Spirit, if you read about manifesting, the Holy Spirit comes, and I like to think of him this way. He comes as a magnifying glass, and he magnifies the Lord's truth and who Christ is to us. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I'm looking up a scripture verse.
Yeah, I remember there wasn't much about public school that I liked growing up as a pagan, but I used to love science class with the microscope and the magnifying glass and looking at things. And I used to love like looking at the samples they'd give us, and I was amazed how your naked eye couldn't see it. And you just saw it one way. Ah, it's a banana. What's a banana? Whatever. And then you put it under a microscope and you see the cells and you see all the structure of it. And that was amazing to me as a small child, or grade school, whatever. The Holy Spirit is like a magnifying glass. He helps us see clear, deeper truth. He helps us draw close to God. He shows us who Christ is. We don't literally get Christ coming to be with us in some physical form, manifesting, I'm going to show you the way. I'm going to make your light. Your light is kind of dim. You have little understanding. I'm going to brighten your light through more understanding, more knowledge of Scripture. That's why the Bible says that you need no one to teach you but the Holy Spirit. We teach each other the Scriptures, but the Holy Spirit is the best and ultimate teacher. Because I might speak a verse to you, I just put it in your ear. The Holy Spirit puts it deep inside you, in your heart and your soul, if that makes sense.
Yeah, amen. It was this verse, 1 Corinthians 8, but if any man love God, the same is known of him. When it comes to making manifest, if you keep the commandments of God, God is going to make himself known to you through his word. The Spirit is going to make the things of God apparent and clear to you. Like we're talking about light and make known. That's the manifest that I would understand that. I don't believe it means Jesus is going to come and stand before you and you can look at him.
No. No. No, we don't see that at all. He's at the right hand of the Father. He said when he comes again, he's coming the same way he left in power and glory in the clouds. And yeah. And that's what the Word does. The Word and the Spirit, yep, makes everything known to us. So yeah, that matches up with that definition of manifest. They really twist that out of context. And we have to rightly divide that to help people, because Satan is having a field day with all of these false conversions, signs and wonders, emotionalism, jumping around, yelling, screaming. Like we saw that crazy man, I sent you the video, dancing, says he's in the Holy Spirit, dancing like a fool. None of this is of manifest of the Holy Spirit.
No, that's not love. That's not like order and control and calm.
Yeah, amen. All right, Brother Kuo.
John 12:49. So I'm kind of jumping back. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak. So the saying of the Son is that which the Father speaks. And then jump forward. Or actually, whatever the Son hears of the Father, that is what he speaks. That's the note on that one. John 14:24. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings, and the word which he hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. So that's the sayings of the Son is that which the Father speaks. And then 14:26.
Hey, wait, hold on, brother. Hold on, brother. So you mean whoever loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. Wow, that sounds like we have something to do, huh?
Yeah.
Where is this faith alone, grace alone? I just heard a false teacher. I'm getting working on another testing. I just heard a false teacher say the famous thing. Ready? If you could lose your salvation, you'd lose it every single day. You can't lose it. It's him that finished it for me. I got nothing to do. I mean, this is what these people believe. Like John MacArthur, the famous false teacher. You didn't do nothing to get your salvation. Really? You mean I don't have to believe and I don't have to repent? And I don't have to obey? you didn't do nothing to believe to get your salvation. You can't do nothing to lose your salvation. Let's go to the marriage covenant, another covenant that God ordained. You didn't do nothing to get married, so you can't do anything to lose your marriage. What foolishness.
Yeah, he that says, I know him, and keeps not his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him.
Yeah. And Satan.
I have an audio of a guy yesterday that was literally telling me, oh, salvation is easy. Why are you focused on that? He didn't want me to talk about the gospel. Salvation is easy. Why are you talking about that? Why don't you talk about all the other things Jesus talked about? That's just one small piece of what Jesus did. Literally.
Yeah. What were you talking about when he said that?
I was trying to preach the gospel.
Oh, okay. Yeah, one small thing. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's the other problem is out there in the world when we do ministry, they don't take God's word in its entirety. They've chopped it up using eisegesis to make a few verses stick, but they forget the rest of God's word and throw it out because that would affect their life too harshly. They're scripture twisters. They're going to get the plagues added to them, and they're going to get their name blotted out of the book of life.
Amen.
Go ahead, Brother Kuo.
So John 14:26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. So the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, is sent to bring into remembrance the Father's words spoken by the Son, being conformed to the image of his Son, We then speak as God commands. We speak as his son does. We are made one with the Father. So I was kind of like putting all the connections together in my head with the son is speaking what the Father commands him to say and what he hears. And then the Holy Spirit also hears what he gives us. He brings into remembrance what he hears. And I just made the connections that, like, the Son hears what the Father's saying, the Holy Spirit's hearing what the Father's saying, and we're also speaking the Word of God as the Son did, so we're being conformed into his image, and I was just, yeah, that kind of a connection.
Yeah, I love that part. I love that part where it says he will teach you a little bit of truth, or he'll teach you a bunch of half-truths. It doesn't say that. He'll teach you what, Brother Kuo?
All truth.
You mean we can know all truth? Spiritual truth? Wow, that's an amazing concept that hardly anyone that claims Christ grasps. They're not striving for all truth. They're not keeping all truth. They're not loving all truth. They get like a little tiny handful and go, that's it. This is all I got. Baptism in Jesus' name only. Right here. Yep, that's it. I'm happy. All truth. And guess what?
Oh, actually.
Wait, one thing, brother. What changes your life? All truth. If you have a little and you have half, your life's not changed. All truth. Because that's why we got to endure and keep going. And all truth cleanses you. And it's called the washing of the word. If you're not washed in the word, you got a bunch of dirty parts on you, don't you?
Yep.
Yeah.
Go ahead, brother.
I said I'd forgotten about that. That is actually something that Alex, the guy I met yesterday, he said that. I've never heard another Christian say that. He was talking about walking in the spirit and killing the flesh. And God's spirit says it. It says leads us into all truth. I've never heard another Christian tell me that. Usually we're the ones telling them that. And they're saying, oh, you can't know truth.
Yeah. Oh, he was that. Alex was a house church guy?
Yeah, he was that guy. I hope I hear from him. Yeah, I haven't heard anything yet. But he was interesting. He's the only other person I've ever heard say that and use that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's important. Truth sets us free. Truth sanctifies us. Yeah. Christ, I mean, tie it all together. The Father's truth. The Son is truth. The Spirit is truth. The Word is truth. His people are truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I mean, truth. It's something so obvious. It's like the world says, the elephant in the room that everybody ignores. Think about that. You're in a big, giant room, and there's a giant elephant in there, and everybody's ignoring it. That's truth. That's truth to the church system today, to people that claim Christ. They're ignoring this giant, obvious fact that God says you must have, you must obey, you must walk in, it sets you free. And they're like, nah, I just got a little bit of it. I don't need it. It's absolute craziness. Satan is a master at his deceptions.
Oh, yeah. And they follow him because Jesus warned us to be not deceived. So if you're deceived, it's probably mostly your own fault.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
I mean, some people can be ignorant and then deceived, but for the most part, if you have a Bible, how much of an excuse do you have?
Yeah, if you're ignorant but trying, how long is the Father and the Spirit going to keep you in darkness? Not long. If you're ignorant and you're not trying, it's all on you. I can speak to that. I always tell people, in the first year of walking with the Lord, I love to boast in Christ about this in the Spirit. In the first year of walking in the Lord with not one person helping us, not one, everyone fought against us and left us, or we had to leave them. In the first year, just by reading the Word and following the Spirit and testing ourselves and conforming ourselves, Sister Amin and I love to look back. We were teaching about 95% exactly what we teach today. The gospel was rooted sound in us. All the pagan holidays were gone. All of these doctrines of faith alone, grace alone, once saved, always saved, were already exposed to us. We were at 95%, I would say. There was a few things that we had to still work on. Dress was one of them, and a couple other things that we didn't get to it. There was so much to do in the first year. We were so dirty and grungy and worldly. We had a lot to do. But yeah, that's a testament of what God can do when people just are hungry for the Word. That's all we wanted. We wanted to work. We were running our homestead at the time. I was working full time, and then we were studying the word and testing things and excited to tell people. And we were so foolish back then in our childlike faith and naivety. We were like, we got to get to know this because a lot of people are going to want to know this, and we got to teach them. We thought, didn't we, Sister Amen? We thought, she's shaking her head, we thought we'd be really busy with all the people we knew that claimed Christ. Oh, they're going to love to hear all this stuff. We were so foolish in a childlike way because we didn't know any better. But yeah, we got there in sound doctrine. The Spirit and the Word will get you there, brother and sisters.
Oh, yeah, amen. I think that's one thing that coming to truth, especially if you're already in a church system, it's probably one of the hardest things to overcome, is the realization that, no, actually, all those other Christians don't want to hear and love the truth as much as you do.
Yeah.
They don't want to hear it. They might say they do, but they don't. Yeah. And then you think, like, oh, no, everyone's going to hear it. Like, well, at least half of them are going to hear it. Well, come on, at least a handful of them got to hear it. Yeah. And then you're saying, like, no one wants to hear it.
Yeah, very few. Yeah, very few. Yeah, it's like the $20 bill that is really close to being the real thing, but it's a counterfeit. There is truth in the churchianity systems. And so it's a counterfeit that people don't, if they would test, they'd see it easily. But because they don't test, they're looking at it going, no, it's genuine. But really their flesh and their desire for the world and sin is what's keeping them from seeing the truth, and the Father's not revealing it to them because they have not the heart for it. They're not willing to obey it, so the Father's not going to give it to them. That's why we go looking for seekers. Amen? We're looking for seekers that'll listen. Somebody doesn't want to hear the truth, listen to the truth. Yeah, you could preach it while they're there and then send them on their way, hope that they're convicted. You're not going to turn them unless they're a seeker.
Yeah, amen. We're there for the sheep, not the goats. The amen. Goats can go to the goats farm. We're there to find the sheep of Christ, and they'll hear his voice and follow him, and we can bank on that.
Amen. Amen. Go ahead, Brother Cool. Let's do a few more this morning.
John 15, verse 4. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. So no fruit born outside of the truth is worth anything to God. A man cannot bear good fruit without the truth. And if you don't abide in the word of God and in the truth of God, you wither and die in sin. So, yeah. And then the...
John 15, abide, remain. You got to remain in him. See the endurance there?
Yeah, a better word for that is continue.
Yep.
Remain kind of almost carries a connotation. People think of just sitting, continuing,
yep.
Which is what abiding means. If you continue in it, oh, you got to work to do this.
Yeah. Well,
this
remain.
Just happened, like.
Yeah. Remain, continue. It's kind of the same mindset. You got to remain. You got to keep doing it. You got to continue. You got to endure. Yeah. I don't know what Calvinists and Once Saved Always people do with that. With that verse from Jesus where, I don't, go count how many times he says the word abide in John 15. Pretty amazing.
Yeah. Well, apparently you were never in him to begin with if you don't abide.
Oh, so Christians can't sin.
I can't figure that out. Apparently you were never a part of the vine if you get caught off. I mean, like, oh, really? So you were never actually a part of them.
That means, that means if you're married and you get a divorce, you were never really married.
Yeah, the ship that goes out to sea and makes shipwreck halfway through in a storm was never, you know, the Titanic was never a ship to begin with.
It wasn't a ship to begin with, yeah. What foolishness. Yeah. Good stuff, brother. Okay, go ahead.
And then I just put a note. The Father deals with us as sons if we do what he commands. The Son is manifest through us and lives through us when we abide in the Word, and the Word abides in us.
Amen. Amen.
John 15:15. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. So the Son has made known what he's heard of the Father, John 15:21. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. Those who love Christ will be conformed to his image, an image the world doesn't know, the image of truth. And John 16:13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. So the Holy Spirit speaks whatever he hears of the Father, and that kind of ties back into the Son also speaks whatever he hears of the Father. We also speak whatever we hear of the Father, because we're speaking through the Spirit.
Amen.
Those are my notes. Yeah.
Amen. Good stuff, brother. Good stuff. Yeah, I've enjoyed doing this in the morning over coffee. We usually gather in the evenings, but when nobody's working and stuff, days off or whatever, it's awesome to meet in the mornings like this. Hopefully you guys enjoyed it.
Oh, yeah. It was a good start. It's nice and edifying. Helps get your mind more on things above.
Amen, brothers. Amen. Go forth.
You know what I like about this?